Elegant Sea Urchins is an eldritch audio drama written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the greater Swooncraft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz if you're so inclined. And before the program starts, the winds mutter truth, the water connects, and Earth, well, Earth is patient, of course. They all resonate to the fire of our souls, but we don't feel them anymore. Hey, you, listening. Thanks. And enjoy. It was as we were getting ready to rest, as the smogs began to roll in, that I finally asked. Piley had the brilliant idea to use Yule's runes as protective barriers while resting out in the open of the fields. I figured through our trip, this was the downtime to question Yule. I wasn't exactly sure what I was asking about, but I had to start somewhere. "Hey, Yule," I began. She looked to me. The faint orange from the glowing skies painted her marble skin and made her eyes dance. "You had a brother, right? Jude?" Her eyes narrowed. The reflected flickering of the swirling smogs helped to hide something. She let out a long sigh and closed her eyes. "It is, I know, he might be a sensitive subject." I anticipated Yule to cut me off, but she was watching me when I glanced over at her. "How did he get lost to the smogs?" Yule closed her eyes. Wordless. After several moments, I figured she had fallen asleep, so I drifted a little higher up the boulder I was against to get some sleep myself. But I didn't sleep. As my mind slowly let go of thoughts, I felt a hand on my shoulder. Looking behind me, I saw Yule cuddling up to my back. She's solid as stone and has the personality of an angry Heraklion, but it's always surprising when I'm reminded that she's a little smaller than I am. I closed my eyes again, regretting that I had asked, but still feeling right about the timing. Jude and I were twins. A wandering spark found us as Piley's guidance saw us to the end of the thicket. I feel like she was about to tell us something, but the flickering eyes of the stranger enraptured Yule and certainly distracted me. In his outstretched palm was something bright and golden. The color only dissuaded me, but Yule was interested in what he had to say. "It's like bathing in the light of the Eldritch," he said. I didn't need to look at Yule to know that she'd been yearning for contact and may have been desperate enough to take his bait. "Well, nothing's free. How many hours is it?" "Yule, you don't know that it's safe," I butted in before the flickering-eyed man could name a price. Piley piped up, "We don't want your pocket jam. Get your Jew-fied soul-bugger eyes out and away from us." Even in his closed palm, some faint pale and gold light was trying to escape. The sneer on his face rippled his cheek like the dunes at the shore back home. In his speed to leave, the faint smell of something that bordered on sharply repugnant and cream lingered. There was something else that made me think of the shore back in the cove, and the peach spores and particulates of the mossy expanse.
"Why'd you do that?"
Yule's frustration was surprising. "Don't get mixed up with Shiners," Piley's stern words silenced Yule. That seemed pretty specific, so I asked, "What's a Shiner?" There's things that lurk on the edge of vision, things that lurk at the edge of horizons, things that lurk in our minds, forcing us forward. There are things that lurk with you in plain sight. And then there are things that lurk a little ahead of you. And here in the blue fields, there was sure to be things that lurked. Pylee told us of the terrors that we could find in the fields around Lunatha if we weren't on guard. I didn't listen as much as I should have. I figured I've studied up on the zoology of our Tandrian spec enough to not have to listen. There was this lingering yearning. I'm sure you can imagine what it was, listeners. Turning and expecting to see Cena. Under the skies of fire, her raven hair would have a beautiful halo of reddish-orange. But maybe it's better to remember her in a less evil way. The crown of gold from the previous season suited her iced and calculated demeanor. This is really childish, but to the eldritch that we rend our minds for, if seasons could have queens, I bid for Cena Ictus to rule the golden seasons. Yule and I, even though I didn't listen a whole lot, were on guard. As well studied as I am, I guess the fauna that thrives in the blue fields was more alien than I presumed, because Yule and I were certain that there were antlered things in the shadows of shrubbery, small enough to be unsure if the shadows jumping behind twisted knots of trees were a trick of the eye or real. But shadows aren't as alarming as the lights. The blue fields are known for the wispy lights that flicker and fade in and out of existence. Much like the people and creatures from the fragmented dimension, but not because, well, because of the color and the shape. It's something that I just know has gotta be right. And these little balls of fire are nothing familiar to Yule and myself. My unease aside, the fields are a beautiful maze of sparse forest. There's stories of elder and urchin alike getting lost here. Dooks who've had great battles with terrors of legend. The Dooks Jones has one of those first-hand accounts. Reclaiming the title, he speaks of how he lost his companion, Aramel, in these fields on his first trip to Lunatha. No matter the time of year, when the smogs roll in the lights, well, I don't, it's all in his book, and I'd rather not. I think Pylee could tell that I was anxious about these deceptively beautiful fields. Have you heard the recent news from the trials? Yule and I both shook our heads. I wish I had, but I haven't thought about it more than it simply being something happening. Thinking about the trials made me think about Uncle Kay. I may not have understood all the things he told me about the trials, but I understood the significance he impressed on me and his words that even though I'd be young, I should try to keep up because the trials really shape our Tandrian spec in a way only surpassed by the Eldritch. Ictus has dropped out of the race. Have you heard about the proffer? Pylee strolled along. I stopped. Why would Ictus drop out for such a sought-after position? Pylee stopped, her shell-pink eyes examining me, her pinned smile dropping to a straight line. You do a lot of good figuring, but sometimes you assume more negatively than you realize. I nodded. I couldn't deny her perception, and the more I thought about past events and how I discussed them, well, I guess I don't agree, but It's worth thinking about. I opened my eyes and looked at the weathered surface of the boulder. Slowly, shapes formed as Yule spoke. He had this ability? Yule was hesitant. There's a lot of things you're taught when your family is entangled with the tendrils. We have freedoms, restrictions, guarantees, but we have this constant pressure. We're supposed to shape and mold our communities. Keep everyone in a carefully built bubble of ignorance. My eyes left the haunting, shifting shades of the boulder as I rolled over. Yule was close enough to smell the hints of citrus, sweet, and berry scents. Her eyes searched the smogs as she spoke. I couldn't tell if she was scared, or concerned, or frustrated. It's a cold and ruthless mission. Eldritch things don't care about individuals. They don't understand being an individual, being small, scared, weak. She only spoke what I think everyone knows about the mind-breaking things that grip our tangerine speck, but it was nice to hear said. It did make me want to ask why our world, but new questions can wait. Jude was bold when we were little urchins, and that is one of the few things that makes them nervous. So, my dearly loathed parents were whispered to. Can you guess what they whispered to them? I watched the smogs churn far above us, obscured flashes of red like explosions from ancient battles pulsed, hinting of a coming firestorm, as I thought that he was a threat. Yule looked to me. Sort of. The details are hardly important. The result was that he was sent to the peaks. I jolted up. What? I thought that was an old smog's tale. She shook her head. Her eyes gazed at a rune she held above her. When she had taken it from her pack, I didn't see, but she went silent. And soon, we both drifted to sleep. We were so close to Nertal, but I just couldn't continue. Pylee was looking at my leg and appeared to be wise to what may have been going on with it. If I took a shot at what were going through the tendril's mind, maybe she intended to ground you since you're a very free person. Mind, body, soul, and all. This isn't elder inoculation, that's for sure. I thought you said it was rot. Hey, it certainly is. Like I said on the passage over, Pin was expired. Don't know how you did this to yourself, though. I thought back to the trauma of getting lost within the monolith. Of trying to separate myself from my companions, the sights, the lies I convinced myself were true. It's complicated. You know how the monoliths out in the plains... Pylee's eyes met mine. Her pinned-on smile, patient. I fell silent, and she finished with the sticky stuff on my leg that she had prepared. Yule had drifted into a sound slumber, and as our conversation dithered, I tried to figure out if there was anything else to say, because I don't really want to recall what happened at the Wastes. But the lunatic had something on her mind to clear up the churning air. Instead, how about you talk about that magenta cellophane you sometimes see? Well, that was something I was incredibly capable of. As I opened my mouth and began explaining the times I've seen it and the slow swelling and overflowing of it, heather engulfed my mind. I couldn't explain it, but while the thought of holding her and the time we had together stuck in my mind, I explained to Piley what I could put into words. When I was finished, I didn't catch everything she said, but she said she helps the proffer with the crusade under the stars. He and her both think that I could help them break through the smogs. Now that I'm relaying it, I wish I asked what they're doing currently and how I could make a difference. But I just nodded with some mutterance of an agreement while thinking about Heather. I hope she hears this, and I hope she knows that I miss her. It took some time, but Piley at last explained what the term shiner meant. She spoke of people addicted to sunshine, bright little tabs that make your nerve endings wash in beautiful, warm, sparkling sensations. And your mind, well, she tried to play it down, but I think the shiner who approached us was probably more correct in saying that it's like bathing in the light of the Eldritch. I don't think she fooled Yule either, and that worried me, because my brush with and experience of ecstasy, because the lights, no matter the color, they get in your mind. They make you feel exactly how you need to. And in the perfect balance of pain, strife, happiness, and ecstasy, dream forever.